This is Nora Rawlinson of Early Word. Welcome to First Flights, the Penguin Debut Author Program, a unique opportunity for librarians to get to know the authors of new titles coming out in the next few months. If you haven't already, you can join First Flights by signing up on earlyword.com. You'll receive advanced copies of forthcoming debut novels and have the opportunity to join a live online chat with each author. Thanks. In preparation for our next online chat, I'm speaking today with Samuel Gailey, author of Deep Winter, his first novel coming from Blue Rider Press, an imprint of Penguin USA, on February 20th. He joins us today by phone from Los Angeles, where he lives. Hi, Sam.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me on the program.
Yeah, great to talk to you. Your book, Deep Winter, which is your debut, is about a young man named Danny, who was brain damaged as a child. He lives in a small town in Pennsylvania, and you might think that a small town would surround a character like this and try to take care of him. But in fact, in this town, he's been ostracized by nearly everyone and has just one friend. You describe him and create this very sympathetic character in the beginning, and I have to say that something hung over it the whole time, this feeling of, oh my gosh, something bad's going to happen. And in fact, Danny stumbles upon a brutal murder and ends up being blamed for the murder because he's at the scene of the crime. It's sort of a mystery in reverse, because the reader knows who the actual murderer is in the beginning, but the mystery is seeing whether the authorities, with the local sheriff, a state trooper who's called in, are going to figure out who the real killer is. So tell me, Sam, this portrait of this small town is a bit grim. What is your feeling about small towns?
Well, I was, born and raised in a very small town in northeastern Pennsylvania. There were probably 375 people. And, it was a very simple way to live. Growing up, we all played in the woods, and at the age of 12, we all started to hunt. We went through the hunter safety program and learned respect of the woods and guns.
Yeah, and in fact, your characters, everyone has a rifle or a sidearm.
Absolutely. I mean, everybody has guns in their homes and in their trucks growing up, and we didn't lock guns in cabinets back then just because we all had such a respect for them. They were only used for hunting, so there wasn't the need to lock them up or that kind of thing.
So given it sounds like your view of small towns is somewhat idyllic. Given that, where did this story come from?
Well, I think what started my interest in this story was there was a kid in my class that had he had some learning disabilities, but he was this big kid, very large, heavy, strong, and there was always this kind of unchecked strength about him, and all the rest of us kids gave him space. And he was an outsider, like a character or a kid on the fringe. And I always thought it would be interesting what would happen to someone like him if he was accused of a crime and he didn't necessarily have the means to defend himself. So that's kind of what got the character started for this story.
Tell us about the time period of the book. You call it, the title of the book's Deep Winter, and indeed it's set in winter and there's constant cold, constant snow, and it's over just a period of a few days. Why did you set it up that way?
Well, I think what I wanted to do to create some tension was that this story was going to unfold in a very short amount of time. And the story really takes place over about 18 hours. And I think that it just created a natural tension, knowing that something was going to come to head very quickly in the story.
And what about winter?
Well, I love winter. Living in Los Angeles, I don't get a lot of winters. So I miss the cold and the rain. And that's the winter is my favorite season. And also with winter, with snow and being in a very small community in this town, I think it created a sense of isolation and detachment from everything else, which I was hoping would add to the tension in the story.
You know, one thing that really struck me is you describe in almost agonizing detail the aging of your older characters. There's Mr. Bennett, who's lost a lot of hair on his head but is popping up in other areas. And then I thought, wait a minute, this guy's not that old.
Well, with the characters, you know, I guess part of the theme was I'm drawn to characters that are on the outside or on the fringe. And I think that elderly people can be kind of pushed off to the side and overlooked, or just their value diminished. And I felt that was part of what I was trying to tell in my story, that not only Danny, the main character, but some of these fringe characters were also overlooked. And I was hoping that that would just add to an element of interest to the story.
Did you have to do a lot of research about police work?
I did. A buddy of mine has a brother that is in law enforcement, and he gave me a crash course with the Pennsylvania State Trooper's Office, just so I could, you know, get things right. And the state trooper in the story is integral to the story, and I wanted to have some authenticity when I was writing about how things are handled in this kind of situation.
The pace of the book is very quick. You know, page turner, I think, was invented to describe this book. Where did you get your sense of pacing? How did you develop that?
My background came from writing screenplays and writing for television out here in Los Angeles when I first moved here. And in writing those formats, there's a very strict structure to keep tension and momentum and conflict going in a story to keep the viewer's interest. And I believe that translated over when I was writing this first book, to keep the pacing just, you know, very sharp and make things move as quickly as possible.
Why did you want to write a novel as opposed to doing this as a screenplay?
My wife is also a novelist, and about 4 or 5 years ago, she said to me, why don't you try your hand at writing a novel? And I, like I usually do, I took my wife's advice.
Good for you.
And yes, and I decided to start to work on this novel. And it's a process that I really truly love. It's much different than writing for television or film, where there's a lot of outside influences and a lot of people giving notes. And in writing a novel, obviously, you know, I get feedback from my wife and readers and, you know, my agent and editor, but it's you know, my story to tell, it's my voice, and I can take time with what I want to say and how I want to say it.
And yet you did open yourself up to other people coming in and giving you notes. You set up a Facebook page and invited people to go along with you on the journey through writing this. What was that experience like?
Well, notes are really important to get from different people, because even if you don't necessarily agree with the note, it brings up the question of maybe I'm not answering something, or maybe I can do something better. So in regards to the Facebook, I was never huge into social media, but my wife is a social media consultant, and she really encouraged me to embrace it, which I did. And, you know, in fact, one of my best, I believe, blurbs I've gotten on the book is from an author, Urban Waite, who I reached out to on Facebook, and we had, we conversed, and when the time was right, I asked him if he would give me a blurb on the novel, which he did, and it was a very, very generous and kind blurb.
Is he the one that said you'll turn the pages so fast you'll get paper cuts?
No, that was Joe Orlandi.
I love that.
which is a great blurb. No, Urban Waite gave me a different one, but equally as kind.
As a screenwriter, one would think you'd have a fairly easy process to get a novel published, and furthermore, being married to a writer. Yet in your acknowledgments, you say that it felt like a long process. Explain that.
It really did feel like a long time. I finished the book about 3.5 years ago, and after my wife read it, the first person I gave it to was Amy Schiffman, who is with the Intellectual Property Group, and her specialty is selling books to the studios. She sold, you know, books like Winter's Bone, Shutter Island, and she has a lot of relationships in the literary world. So she read the book, really fell in love with it, and she's repping the film rights. But then she started to send the book to literary agents to try to get me representation. And that process took a little over 2 years to finally get an agent, and now I'm with Natasha Alexis at the Zachary Schuster Harmsworth Agents.
Great. Well, we look forward to asking you more questions in our live online chat on February 12th. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
And thank you out there for listening. If you're not a member of Penguin's First Flights program, you can sign up on earlyword.com. And please come back for the live online chat with Sam Gailey, author of Deep Winter, on February 12th from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern.